right, part two of the positive commandments of Shabbos series. We are now discussing halakas neiros. Interestingly, someone came over to me this evening and said, "Is this just a women's shiur?" So, in fact, as we'll discuss, no, this isn't the anti-mitzvah saseh shiur zman grama. In fact, everybody is chayiv in lighting candles. In fact, I asked the guys in the kollel, "By the way, what did you do about lighting candles last week?" And they said, "Lighting candles." So I realize that there's probably a necessity to go over the halachas. The Gemara talks about it in the first source, hadlakas ner b'shabes chova. Lighting candles is a requirement. Amar of Nachman by Rav Zavda, v'amila amar of Nachman by Rava, amar Rav hadlakas ner b'shabes chova. V'chitzas yadayim raglayim b'chamim arvis rishus v'ani omer mitzvah. There's a machlokas whether you have to shower for Shabbos. Perhaps that's a mitzvah. Perhaps that's only something that's a good idea, but lighting candles, that is definitely something that is a chova. Why? So Rashi comes chova. Kavod Shabbosu. Shein suda chashuva el b'mokom or ke'en yamama. He said, what's the reason for this? He says, in order for you to enjoy your meal, you have to see your food. If you can't see your food, you don't really enjoy your meal. This happens to be true. We've had situations where somebody set up the Shabbos clock all wrong. In fact, we had a situation, this is something that's special in Washington Heights, when you turn on two air conditioners at the same time, everybody loses their electricity. So definitely the meal, besides being warm, is less enjoyable if you're not really sure what you're eating. So the Gemara says that the key to lighting candles is that you should be able to see what you're eating. It's part of the chiyuv of the seuda. The Shulchan Aruch codifies the halachas in Reish Samach Gimel and Aruch Chai, where it says Yezoyer Lasos Ner Yafen. You should have nice candles. V'yesh Mechavn Lasos Beis Psilos Echad Keneged Zocher V'Echad Keneged Shomer. It seems that the old minhag was they would have one candle with two wicks on it, one for Shomer and one for Zocher. Nowadays we have one wick, but we have two candles, one for Shomer and one for Zocher. Hagaviyachom Lahosiv Gimel Odalot Neiros. If you want to do more than two, by all means, have a good time. In fact, people do many more than two. There is a prevalent minhag that women light candles, one per member of the family. Where does that minhag come from? So some people say it's perhaps related to the next line in the Rambam. Ha'isha she'shacha pam achas lahadlik, madlekas kol yomeho gimel neiros. If a woman forgets to light candles once, on a Friday night, she has to add an additional candle for the rest of her life. So there is this quasi halacha. It seems to be more of a minhag that if a woman forgets to light on one Shabbos, she has to light an extra candle from there on in. There are those who say that that's the reason for our current minhag, that you light two candles plus one for every child, because at the times, back in the day, when a woman gave birth, she was in bed for some time, and she would not be able to light candles afterwards. And she would miss some, so that would be the reason she would add it afterwards. In fact, if you look at number six, in the first half, it's Hanoshim Muzharos, V'afilim Yirtza Abala Halik Ba'atzma Isha Kodemes. In general, the woman has the rights to light candles even if her husband wants to light, if he's one of those masculists who want to do all these feminine types of mitzvahs, right? So he does not have the right to do it, the woman has it, right? However, Yahu Gam Kim Lahali. However, if he also wants to light candles besides, he can't take it away from her, he can join her in doing it. Shehi Yoledas B'Shabbos Rishon Malik HaBal Mavarech. And the minhag is that the husband on the first Shabbos, after a woman gives birth, the husband does it. What's the reason for this? So the simple reason for the halacha has nothing to do with, it's not Kabbalistic, it's not halacha, it's practical. That when women used to give birth, they were in bed for a while. So the husband would have to pick up the pace a little bit, he'd have to pick up the slack, and therefore he would light. So some people say that's the reason, since you see that the women used to miss every time they gave birth to a child. So therefore, the minhag became that they add a candle for every child. It would seem to be somewhat obvious that this is wrong. Why? One is, there wasn't a miss here. the candles got lit, albeit not by her, by the husband. The husband probably did a fine enough job at lighting the candles. That's not a reason why you should do it. Also, in the event that it was a miss, it wasn't her fault. It was an onus gomer, right? For physical reasons, she couldn't get out of bed. So most people reject this idea. However, no one gives a better idea. So for whatever the reason is, there is a minhag that many people have that women light candles, one per family member. No one's really sure why, but like most things, you just kind of have to assume the people who make candles came up with this idea. Right? It's a little bit like Mother's Day and Hallmark. It's a big mitzvah, and the Mishnah Berurah comments in number 4, Yafev Isa B'Shat Zocha Avozeh Rabbanim Tamid Chachamim. If a woman is particular in lighting candles, she will have children that are Tamid Chachamim. The Ksiv Ki Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or. Because the Torah is referred to as a candle. Ayder Mitzvah the Shabbos Bo Or Torah. By me, and the drasha on this pasuk is by lighting the candle of Shabbos, you will be zochet to have children that have the or the light of the Torah. Vilochein lilakach roish etespalo haisha achar shetigmar adlocha uvabrachas shehitin lahakosh baruchu bottom zochor meirim b'torah v'adlokas neitzarchiyu. So period. So she said that's the reason why I think most women say there's a yihiratzon afterwards that the children should grow up the proper way. That's because there is a relationship between the lighting of the candles and having children growing up the proper way. Now, the Mishnah Berurah goes on to say that even though we said in Rashi that the main reason for lighting candles is letzorach suda, so you'll be able to see what you're eating, that's not the only reason. There's also, there should be light in the house. If there's no light in the house and you keep on tripping over everything, that's definitely not going to lead to shalom bayis. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah comments that even though the ikker, the main lighting, should be done where you're going to eat, there should be candles lit throughout the house. Now, you don't make brachas on those other candles, and in fact, as we'll discuss, those other candles don't have to be candles at all. They could be light bulbs. We'll discuss where the first candles could be light bulbs as well. But there is this idea that there should be light in the house on Shabbos. A very practically good idea. As we mentioned earlier, women are the ones who tend to light the candles. Hanoshim muzharos bo yoser. Women are the ones who are more careful in lighting the candles. Why? What's the reason for this? Because women are the ones around the house. They're the ones who do the cooking. They're the ones who do the cleaning. It's likely that they're the ones who are going to light the candles as well. So the Shulchan Aruch makes it sound like it's just a practical matter. That women, just because they did it over the years, that's why they keep on doing, but there's nothing special, no relationship between the women and the candles. The Mishnah Berurah suggests another reason, that there is a specific reason why women do it. Not as exciting as you'd hope for. Otam, looking in Yud Beis, number 6, Vimnesha Kavsa Nero Shalol Amushagarbu Misas Ladam Harishon. Since Chava killed Ladam Harishon, as payback, she's bringing back light into the world. However, guys, mikol makom tov she'aish takin haneros. However, the men should also take part in the mitzvah, and this is, many people have this meaning, that the men are supposed to set up the candles for the women to light. Now, when do we light candles? So, the Shulchan Aruch here discusses the idea that there's a certain amount of time of Tosefa Shabbos that you're supposed to have. That when one is not supposed to go into Shabbos at the exact second and be makabel, but rather you're supposed to give yourself a little extra time. How long do you give? So the Shulchan Aruch says gimel rivai meal. He says the amount of time that he recommends is 3/4 of what it takes to walk a meal. So, a meal is 1,000 amas. An amas is about, anybody? 1.5 feet, 2 feet maybe. So 1,000 amas is approximately 1 kilometer, it comes out to. Maybe a little less even. So how long does it take to walk that? Not so long. So there are different opinions as to how much you're supposed to have. Some people say you're supposed to do 1/2 hour. Some people say you're supposed to do 1/3 hour beforehand. No one says 18 minutes. It's very unclear where this minhag of 18 minutes came from. Right, so So some people are, so if you look at the Ezra's Torah Luch, for example, they don't give you the time of kindling 18 minutes before, they give you 20 minutes. Right? Because that's a third of an hour. There's some sense there. I have in Yerushalayim, the minhag is, I think, 40 minutes they light beforehand. The different shiur of Tosefer Shabbos. But that's the time that you're supposed to do before. So a lot of people get confused about this. So you light candles, the minhag in most places is 18 minutes for whatever reason. And then 18 minutes later is Shabbos. Now, when women light the candles, it is Shabbos for them. Which is why, unlike most mitzvahs, where you first make the bracha and then you do the mitzvah, this is one of the exceptions. Women first light the candles and then they make the bracha. What's the reason for this? Because once you make the bracha, it's already Shabbos. You can't light the candles. So that's the reason that women do it specifically that way. Men, however, let's say you're in a situation we'll discuss where men have to light candles, right? A single guy in yeshiva, single guy in the Skokie Kollel. So someone's got to light candles, but after they light candles, they're going to go daven mincha. So if you're Mekabel Shabbos, you can't daven mincha for Friday anymore. Once you say it's Shabbos, it's not Friday. So the minhag always was when men light candles, they're not Mekabel Shabbos, which is why the minhag developed that men, when they light candles, first make the bracha and then light the candles. Because when the men light the candles, it's not going to be Shabbos yet. So therefore, they do it in the more normal way of first making the bracha and then doing the mitzvah. A fascinating question comes up, and it's not that rare. What do women do on Yontif? Because on Yontif, once you mekabel Yontif, you can still light candles. So the Prisha is a parish on the tour, and the Prisha says that the minhag always was that women don't change what they do. However, his mother, the Prisha's mother, said this is crazy. And therefore she suggested, she was a very learned woman, she suggested that on Yontif they should reverse the order. And some of the Rabbanim of the time disagreed with her and said not to do it. L'halachu l'maisa, we follow the Prisha's mother against the Rabbanim. In fact, women are, I think, are told in most cases that when you light for Shabbos, first you light and then you make the bracha. However, on Yontif, you do the reverse. On Yontif, first you make the bracha and then you light. Why? Because of the logic. So they point, this is one of the very interesting cases where the Prisha's mother beat out the Rabbanim of her time, and history has showed her to be right. And in fact, that's the way you're supposed to do it. That when it comes to Yontif, since, yes, you are being Mekabel Yontif, however, this Kabbalah of Yontif is not going to stop you from lighting a fire. Therefore, you do it in that order. People get confused all the time. I oftentimes hear people say, you know, what time Shkia? Okay, so I still have 18 minutes. Now, you don't have 18 minutes up until after Shkia. You have 18 minutes beforehand. This leads to Chil Shabbos. I put here a number 8, a fascinating tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein, which is the reverse problem. Seems that Rav Moshe Feinstein received a shayla from somebody, which says, "Dear Rabbi Feinstein, I saw you driving a car on Shabbos last week. How is it appropriate that a rabbi of your stature does this?" And he wrote an answer, and it got published here. So again, if anyone's familiar with Igros Moshe, this is a classic. B'davar nesia l'anoshim b'kar. Right? Rav Moshe writes most of his tshuvas in English. How in Israel does today translate for you? B'machonit, in case you didn't realize it. After adlokas haneiros lebeis hamedrash samoch erech shnei minutin takot v'chol ayosem yesh ezech shash iser. He puts quote Yorei Shemayim from Moshe Metzger. So Moshe Metzger had said to him, you know, Rabbi Feinstein, it's really not appropriate that you should be driving on Shabbos. So Rabbi Feinstein had to point out to him that after candle lighting is not Shabbos, you still have 18 minutes. The fact that Rabbi Moshe Feinstein thought it necessary to put this in the Sefer is quite interesting. And he writes in a very nice way. Naneti ma'od. Asher, I'll quote in his diaries, L'kayim mitzvah tochocha l'fi daito. And so I'm so happy that you know, you felt it necessary to give me proper rebuke. U'chuas chen chen, and I applaud you. V'chas v'shom l'rahak v'mazen. Don't think I didn't take it the wrong way. He said, listen, I know that this is 100% mutter, And it's not even Maris Ayin, not that people think I'm doing something wrong, because you'd have to be out of your mind to think I'm doing something wrong. However, but now that I notice that there is someone out there who did think it, Avim become makom kiven shekosav sheyesh chas v'sholom kilkol leiz and noshim v'anoshim shidmu sheyesh bezeh zilzul l'shabbos kodesh erev b'lo neder shol lisa od b'kar mishasad lakas neiros. So Moshe was makabel on himself to stop doing this, even though there was nothing wrong with it whatsoever, because people get very confused about this. So the basic rule is that from the time of Hadlakas Neiros, you get 18 minutes until the Shkia. Right? I imagine this shul, most shuls have it, that they put the time as for Havdalah is an hour after Hadlakas Neiros, or 42 minutes after Shkia. Right? We don't wait an hour afterwards. But people have to be clear with this. You get eight men who don't light candles get another 18 minutes afterwards, which is why Mincha here starts, not early Mincha, but regular Mincha starts 15 minutes before Shkia, even though it's already after candle lighting because it's still Friday. And if it was Shabbos, you couldn't daven Mincha yet. And this goes on, the time goes on until the actual Shkia. You don't get time after Shkia. That's really Shabbos. An interesting question and a very difficult question comes up for people who make early Shabbos. Yes, you're supposed to light candles at that point, but there's a limit to when you could. You can't, let's say I miss 18 minutes, right? This happens to most everybody all the time, I get the impression. You know, you try to light candles on time, but Erev Shabbos, no matter what time Shabbos is always 5 minutes too short. So you light candles if you don't catch it at 18 minutes, you can do it at 15 minutes, you can do it at 12 minutes, you can do it at 10 minutes, you do it as soon as you can, right? But if you get up to Shkia, that's the end of your candle lighting. You can't light candles at that point. There's also an earliest time. And that earliest time is Plag HaMincha. You can't light candles earlier than the time that you can be Makabel Shabbos. I can't get the big candles and light them now for Shabbos candles. They have to be after Plag HaMincha. So it's a real problem, particularly for the guys in the Kollel. What do you do when you're making early Shabbos here? So as we will discuss at a later week, our Torah very properly has a moving early Mincha on Friday that moves right before Plag. However, that means before you come to Shul, you can't light candles yet, because it's not yet the proper time to light candles. So what do you do about this? So generally what has to be done is somebody who's going to daven early Mincha has to go home, even if you're going to miss Kabbalah Shabbos over it, light candles then, and come back to Shul at that point to finish davening to daven Maariv, whatever else you're going to have. You cannot light candles. Women who make early Shabbos here also have to know this. It's too early to light before you go to shul. So if you want to daven mincha here, that's wonderful, but you've got to go back afterwards and light candles then. For men, it's a little easier. They could drive back and forth because they're not going to be Makabel Shabbos when they light. For women, can drive one way, but not the other way. So now the guys in the last 2 years have lived down the block. It's not such a problem, but two summers ago they were living off on Main Street and Monticello, I think. So basically what had to happen was somebody was going to miss Kabbalah Shabbos because you have to run all the way back there and all the way back here. But Kabbalah Shabbos, it's a nice thing. It's an important thing, but Halakas Neiros is a more important thing. So that is the priority, even though it means that you're going to miss the Kabbalah Shabbos. As long as you'll make it by Maariv, that's good. Moving right along to number 9. The Bahag, the opinion of the Bahag. Kevish Hidlik Neshal Shabbos Chol Olav Shabbos V'Nesar B'Molacha. Now, there are some exceptions. There is a discussion whether or not women are allowed to make a Tanai. Even though normally if a woman says nothing, she's Makabel Shabbos when she lights candles, what if she gets up and says, not today. I'm not lighting candles, but I'm going to show I want to drive. Right, this comes up, women who want to go to the Kotel on Friday night. So rarely is anyone staying that close to the Kotel that you have time to walk after you lit candles. So can you light candles and then hop in a cab with this tonight? Or another case is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur women all come to shul. A lot of people don't live necessarily in close walking distance that they can make it on time. They have a right to do that. So this is a machlokas rishonim. And we assume that if a woman says it, not just thinks, but actually says the words, that I am not being makabel Shabbos, I am not accepting Shabbos upon myself by lighting candles, then it's not Shabbos for her. She's allowed to do that. So looking at the Rama, who we follow, that's the little print. Hagav, aminug she'osa isha ma'madlek is makabel Shabbos v'adlaka. The woman really does it right. V'imro she'his netchila. Unless she says specifically that she wants to not accept Shabbos this time. If she just has in her mind that she's not being mekabel Shabbos, that's not enough. She actually has to say it. However, everybody else, besides the woman who lights candles, they do not have to accept Shabbos. What?
They don't have to
say anything about that. The men or the other people in the house, the kids, they don't have to say anything. They didn't light the candles. They don't have to do it. So the Mishnah Berurah comments, even though technically men are not makabel, that's the minhag, still it's better that men should also point out that when they're not being makabel. So it's a good thing. If you forget to do it for men, they don't have Shabbos. They can still daven mincha. Also, women kabel Shabbos, it's hispal mincha tchila. So women have to be careful to daven mincha before they light candles, because once they light candles, it's Shabbos. You can't daven for Friday anymore. So if a woman's going to daven mincha afterwards, she has to make sure to make it clear that she's not being mekabel Shabbos when she lights the candles. And if a woman's not going to have time, so skip mincha, do two marv's if you need to, but don't blow your candle lighting. Right? If the other possibility is that you're going to go and daven mincha and now light candles when it might be too late and you might be lighting candles on Shabbos, don't get involved in this. Mishnah Berurah says ve'ein rahasnos ki'im ratzorech. Mishnah Berurah finally says that women, unless they really need to, should avoid this tanai, and they should always just be makabel Shabbos unless there's a real need. Why? Because there's machokah, some people think it doesn't work. What about yeshiva bachers? So, guys who live in the dorm, what do they do about lighting candles? So some people say, well, you know, somebody lights on in the dining room for everybody, that's enough. Question is, what's the relationship? Most guys in yeshiva and YU. So you have in Reuben Hall there is a cafeteria people eat, but then the dormitory is two blocks away. The fact that there is a light on in the cafeteria doesn't necessarily help you in your dorm room. The two candles don't travel for that far. Similarly, a lot of people have issues with hotels. You go to a hotel for Shabbos, for Yontif, so everybody lights together in the dining room. So a lot of people say that's not very helpful. That's no place near where you are. And even in the dining room, what good is it doing you? So a lot of people say, particularly in the case of the yeshiva boys, that you're supposed to light in your room, the yeshiva guys. Now, what does it mean to light? Do they have to have candles? It could be a fire hazard. Why you? We don't let the boys light Hanukkah menorahs in their room because of the fire hazards. What about Shabbos candles? So that goes to a question in number 13 of the Har Tzvi. The Har Tzvi is a Tzvi Pesach Frank. Can you do electrical lights for the sake of lighting candles? So he starts off, it's a longer tshuva, this is just a part of it. So first he says that perhaps not, because by flipping the switch, that's only grumma. That's not like lighting a candle. That's too indirect. But that gets rejected. And it basically, at the end of the day, he says, yeah, sure. What's the difference? This issue of people get confused. People say, yeah, you can use light bulbs for lighting candles, but not fluorescents. And that's absolutely wrong. You have to remember, when it comes to when we talk about a nair, in different cases, it means different things. And therefore, whether you can use electrical lights for it also has different halachas. Right? The purpose of the lighting candles on Friday night is to have light. So you can see your food, so you can see where you're walking. In order to do that, a light bulb works as well, if not better, than candles. So therefore, the majority of the poskim, as we will see, will allow you to use electrical lights, make a bracha, halach neshal Shabbos, and flip the switch. And that's fine. When it comes to Havdalah, however, it's nothing to do with light. Why do we have a candle at Havdalah? Why do we have a torch?
Fire was created.
What? Fire was created, right. So the fire was created on Motzei Shabbos, so it's a zecher, the fire being created. That's one opinion. The second opinion is that it has to indicate that now we're allowed to light a light. But there's definitely a strong opinion that it has to do, that's when fire was created. Which is why Yom Kippur gets a little tricky. Right? Because Yom Kippur isn't always on a Motzei Shabbos. But still we use a candle. So that's why we use a different, we have to use a Ner Shoshavas. So since the assumption is it was because fire was created, so what are we trying to do here? We're trying to produce a fire. So a fire is a fire. A regular incandescent light bulb, like I think we have here, can't really tell, right? That is also a fire, right? That is just a filament, that's a thin strand of metal that was heated up a lot till it's burning hot, which is basically a fire. A fluorescent bulb, however, is not a fire. That's some sort of chemical reaction. So therefore, that's why when it comes to Havdalah, you can use a light bulb, but you can't use a fluorescent bulb. Moving on to, let's say, Neros Chanukah, why do we light Neros Chanukah? Because the oil that should have lasted one day lasted 8 days. So for that, you need a wick. You need a wick and you need a source where it's coming from. So for that, a fluorescent bulb doesn't work, a regular light bulb doesn't work. For that, you need specifically a candle. And in every case, you have to look at why is it that you need a candle to see what works. On the one hand, on Hanukkah, we assume that no electrical works. If you go on to Havdalah, some yes, some no. And for Hadlakas Neros, everything should technically be good because all you're trying to do is get light. And if it produces light, that's fine. If I could crack a stick in half and that sets off light, that should also be good, people point out. That all you need to do is really have light. This again, anytime, these aren't the only cases. B'dikas chametz. We use a candle for b'dikas chametz. What would you say? Can you use a light bulb for that? Why? Why not? That's
going to help you look.
Right. And not only that, but you know, we say that you're supposed to use a candle instead of a torch. Why? Because you'll get into smaller holes without worrying about burning down your house. You know what? If I'm using a flashlight, I'm worrying even less about burning down my house than if I'm with a candle. So some people say that when it comes to B'dikas Chametz, not only can you use a light bulb, it's probably preferable. You don't want a light bulb on top because you want to get a very pointed ray of light that you're looking at, but a flashlight, according to many people, is preferable. Not only is it mutter, what about a yahrzeitlicht? So you got to figure out why you have that to start with. Right? They discuss about that. What about the ner tavid? Obviously, we assume that you can do it for a ner tavid. Right? So every case we talk about a candle, you can't say, okay, electricity, a light bulb equals a candle, because every candle is trying to do something else. So because of that, you have to look at each case individually. And as you look at the case of Hadlakas Neros, clearly electrical is fine. And that's the opinion of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Ultimately, he thinks it's good. In fact, there's another tshuva afterwards, a very interesting tshuva where he talks about what do you do then? Let's say I have a light bulb on. So I go and I make a bracha Hadlik Neroshel Shabbos and turn it on. What if it's a two-day yontif? Can I have a Shabbos clock, turn it off and turn it on again, and I make the bracha on that? I didn't do anything. So the Magen Avraham discusses a case where, let's say, someone comes home, it's already Shabbos. Can I have a goy light Shabbos candles for me? And I'll make a bracha on it. Because all I want is light. So if the goy lights the candles, I have light. Magen Avraham says yes. You're saying for Hilchos Shabbos I can't get him to do it. Okay, I get around my Hilchos Shabbos problem however I do it. We once had an issue when we built the Erev in Washington Heights around YU. So in order to build an Erev, you need a few things. One is you need shrinks. Everyone's familiar with that. Two is you need a box of matzahs. That's the actual Erev where everybody participates in. The last thing you need is schiras reshus, because you have the strings make it into one area. The matzahs bring all the Jews together, but you know, the non-Jews who live there also. So what you do is you kind of schiras reshus. You rent the property. So if you'll notice, right outside here, there is a proclamation on the wall where the mayor of Skokie has sold Skokie to the shul for the next 100 years for a dollar or so. Ever hanging out outside, you can read it. That's the way you do it. So in Washington, it's more, so the mayor of Skokie, the police chief, they have certain rights to the houses, but it's better if you can actually deal with the people. So Washington Heights, we were a small area. If we were going to go around from super to super, you know, there are only 10 buildings in it, then do a schiras reshus with each one. It would be a little better. But two of the supers went MIA. We just couldn't find them before Shabbos. You know, that's what supers do. They go MIA whenever you need them. So they finally showed up on Shabbos. So the question was, can we do that? Can we get the Erev up on Shabbos by talking to these guys? So the minig is, you give the guy a quarter. You know, for that he gives you the rights. So how do you do that on Shabbos? So remember what Shabbos said? What you do is you invite the guy in, you give him a piece of cake. And say, no, I want a piece of cake. And for this, I'd like the rights to your building for the next 100 years. No, he eats the cake and it's done. So there are ways that you can get around these issues. But the Magen Avraham thinks that if a guy lights the light, for whatever reason he does it, that it's loud, that would be good enough. So according to this opinion of Magen Avraham, which not necessarily everyone agrees to, that's good enough. So it's very interesting. So
that's
a good point. So let's take a look at number 15. Let's get a little later, so I was kind of skimming through these, but we'll look at this one a little closer. Harambam, because this is Yabia Omer, written by Maran Rav Ovadia Yosef. Close to the Rambam, of course. Eloshot Echad Anoshim VeEchad Noshim Chayav Lihiyos BeBateim Ner Dolk B'Shabbos. So how does he codify the law that men and women have to have a candle burning in their house on Shabbos? V'cheinu rosh marim b'shulchan aruch. This is the way the Shulchan Aruch has it. L'chorah mashmi zeh she'ein chova rahadrik ner l'chovah Shabbos, kiyim she'yeh b'bayis ner dolok. So if you look at the words, it's not that you have to light a candle, but you have to have a candle lit in your house. V'afil dolok me'esmo l'tzorecho ein tzorech boso l'aliko. So he says, as long as you have lights on, whether you lit them for Shabbos or not, they could have been on since last Tuesday. As long as I have a candle on Shabbos, according to the Rambam and the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, that's good. So based on this, and Yabi Omer tends to be very long tshuvas, we're missing most of it. Hamur mikora Omer she'en lonu tam masvik romer she'en yotze midecho vasa badlokas ner chashmal chavod Shabbos. The bottom line is there's no reason to say that you can't be yotze with it. However, he says it's better to light. There are people who don't like the idea of electrical lights for whatever reasons. Better to light candles. Now, of course, every chumrah is a kula and every kula is a chumrah. Right? So the fact that I can use my electrical lights and don't have to light candles, that would seem to be a kula. Then I'm okay. The problem is, so let's say I'm lighting, let's say this is my kitchen, and I've got the lights on and I put two candles and I light them and make a bracha. How am I making a bracha? I was already yotze with all the other lights. These two candles I'm lighting do nothing for me. So according to that, it's a bracha levatala. Yes, it's a big kula that I can rely on my electrical lights. However, it's a chumrah that I can't make a bracha anymore on my candles. So some people happen to be machmir. They try to light the dafkin in the darkened room. Right, to the extent possible, I try to set our Shabbos clocks that the lights go on after my wife lights. And when she's lighting, you know, that lighting is doing something. The fact that afterwards it won't be doing much doesn't make a difference. At that point, it's doing something.
I don't understand the bracha about television. You make a bracha whether it's this light or that. The lighting of the candle might be a waste, but the bracha is not a television.
Right. So that's going back to her point. Lahadlik ner sounds like the bracha is on the act of lighting, of bringing on the necessary light. But there's no necessary light here.
So I didn't bring it out.
Right. Yeah, it's the truth. You're probably right. I think that one way they either that again, if the bracha didn't work for the candle, so it worked on that, right? That too. But there are people again, and there's no way I would tell anybody they know that was a bracha vatel and discourage it. But it's worth noting that if you're going to rely on the lights, it could cut both ways.
So in a case where someone forgot to light, they fell asleep.
That's what I was about to bring up. So that's the question. Bisman is this? So we said way back in the beginning. If a woman forgets to light, she has to add. Okay, one could argue quite well, I think, that only applies if her house is not pitch black. If she happens to have lights on all over the place and you can see everything, A, there's no reason why she should have to add, and two, according to the Magen Avraham, she can make a bracha right there and then. And she can say, L'hadlik ner shel Shabbos, because there are candles on. I think that's right. I think that if a woman forgets nowadays, but there are other lights on in the house, I think she should not be adding. There are people who disagree. If you look at the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchos, so he has two opinions in the matter. But I have done it. My mother, it happened to her one time. She forgot, now she lights one more. And she asked the rabbi, and afterwards I said to her, well, you should have asked me. I would have, could have saved you a few bucks. But, yeah.
With all these questions, I still got having a problem with going back to the beginning, the purpose of the candles in the first place being for light. I don't know how to explain it better, but it seems there's something wrong that the only purpose, so it light in the house. You know, it doesn't seem to be a right bracha to make somehow.
Well, it's hard to make. It has to be an action to make a bracha in general.
Yeah, but the action is to light the candle, just like we make a kiddush over the wine, we go and drink the wine. So here we're lighting the candle for whatever the purpose is.
So basically all birchas and mitzvah come in two varieties. We'll call one the lahadlik variety and the al mitzvahs variety. Okay? I think what you're saying is that you'd feel more comfortable if this was of the al mitzvahs variety.
Right.
Right? As opposed to the lahadlik. The lahadlik seems very active. The al mitzvahs can get away with being more passive. So that's a question. There's a big machokas rishonim as to what brachas fall into which category. And in fact, so most brachas we make all the time. So whatever is said is said. But there are some mitzvahs which don't come up that often. Right? So, pidyon haben. Right? Is it lift those or al mitzvahs pidyon? And so mitzvahs like that, so there's a lot of discussion as to where it's supposed to go. So, yes, the Rambam does sound that it's very passive. On the other hand, the bracha does sound like it's very active. Hence the machlokes about all this. But I think, ultimately, if you look back to the original sources, you look to the Gemara, and you look at Rashi, right, number two on the sheet.
Right.
You need light. That's what it says. You go back to the very beginning. A very good place to start. That's what it ultimately says. So I think that's the bottom line with it.
So other than the minimum, in nowadays where we all have lights in our house, probably way too much all the time anyways, is there anything for us or just a zecher that there was a time when people didn't have electric lights?
Again, the two candles for Shomer V'Zachar, you know, that's definitely something. There are opinions out there who don't rely on the electrical lights. You know, I don't think they're majority opinions, and which is why I think that if a woman forgets, I would let her out of it. Particularly if there was the slightest bit of a good reason. But well, it's part of Oneg Shabbos. There is a concept of Oneg Shabbos, that on Shabbos you're supposed to have good food and you're supposed to wear nice clothing. You know, and part of the meal of having good food is seeing the food. That's what the Gemara very much sounds like, and Rashi clearly says.
But there's no
textual
basis.
It's not the Raisa. You don't expect it to be a textual basis in this.
But even
sometimes rather than that, it has some. No, for Karasim Shabbos Oneg, right? There is a textual basis for Oneg Shabbos. Right? There is definitely textual basis for the positive mitzvahs. The fact that it was applied in this way, you're right, that there is an ultimate, you know, the rabbis on their own didn't come up with this idea. There is this concept that they're working with, there is a parameters they work within. But in terms of this is not a mitzvah d'oraisa, so you're not going to say a pasuk that, you know, you're chayav to light candles. But it's part of Onik Shabbos, which is an important mitzvah of Shabbos. Shomer v'zachar, it's one of the two. Just one or two other interesting points. Again, regarding it's late, so there are four tshuvas that I gave you here on the topic of electricity for lights. You're welcome to look through them, or we can do it afterwards. But in order to finish in a reasonable time, we're going to skip over it now and just go to the bottom line. Two other halachos I just wanted to point out. One is number 17. There is a minhag that many people have to put the challahs on the table before you put the candles on the table. There is a halachic basis for this, right? There's something called a basis, which you may or may not have heard of. That if something is, let's say, so example, this table is not muksa. However, these recording devices are muksa, right? Therefore, the table becomes somewhat muksa because it's a basis l'davar ha'asar. It's meant to hold these things. Right, so therefore, not only can't I move these items, but if I purposely left these items on the table, I can't move the table either. Now, what if there were some things on this table that were muksa and certain things that weren't muksa? So this is called a basis l'davar ha-muta v'ha-asar. Right? I mean, this isn't just something that holds asar, it holds both. So it depends what's more important, what was there first. So the assumption is that if you put the chavos down first, right, so the table is a basis l'davar ha-mutter, that the fact the table is holding the challahs, and the fact that I put the candles on it afterwards becomes secondary. That's a very basic explanation of it. So therefore, if I put the challahs down first and then I put down the candles, I'm allowed to move the table on Shabbos if necessary. Even after, again, once something becomes a basis, like if I put the candles first, then even after the candles go out, I still can't move it. Like the leichter on Shabbos. The leichter is muksa, even though after the candles are burned out. Because the leichter was a basis, it was a vessel, a utensil that's holding the fire, which is muksa. So therefore I can't, on Shabbos, on Yom Tov obviously it's different, I can't move a leichter on that. However, in terms of moving the table, which has the leichter, if I put the chavos down first, then I can move the table afterwards. One thing to note.
I think even if you put the chalas on later, just like putting something on a mace to take the mace out of the house.
So that's a little different. That's a little different. So Mr. Katz points out that the Gemara tells us that a dead person is muksa on Shabbos, technically. So in order to move it, if you put something on it, for example, a roll or something like that, the Gemara recommends that will allow you to move the mace. But they're different. The mace becomes the buses. It's a little different. Right, that's the famous Reb Breuer story. Familiar with the Reb Breuer story? So when Reb Breuer was nifty, there are a few mofsim they talk about. So one of them was at his last meal, I think it was a shalosh shudas, he took a roll and he put it in his pocket. They said, "What are you doing?" So they said, you know, okay. They wouldn't let them take the roll out of his pocket. Then afterwards, on Shabbos, he passed away. And he had the roll in his pocket already, so they were able to move him. So as I said, that's one of the great mofsim, that he knew that he was dying, so therefore he had the clarity of thought that he was able to take the roll and put it in his pocket before, and that's one of them. They also say on the last night he didn't count Sfira. Same idea. He knew he wouldn't be able to finish. Stop counting Sfira. This is when Reb Breuer becomes a Hasidus Sherevi. So these are all the things that happen there.
The
doesn't make a difference. What sets the rules for buses is where it's holding when Shabbos enters. Right, the last halacha is talking about if a few people are eating together, what do you do? Right, the best thing to do if you're eating at somebody's house and you're going to be there for the entire Shabbos, either light yourself and try not to light too close because of the issue of what are you actually gaining by this. Nothing that you can just give them a little money. If you pay for part of the candles, so when they're lighting on your behalf as well. It's also good. Okay, we're a little bit over time, so we will stop here. Thank you.